Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.
Welcome to the Patrice Bradley Show. We're helping others with the name of the game, and on this show, we push purpose, positivity, and personal growth. Y'all, today, y'all know I'm in this little thing about burnout, right? And I know that we all are experiencing it. Me, myself, I'm going back around that moon a third time, and I want out. But I had to share this story today because as I spoke to Ms. Ashriel about her story of burnout, it brought tears to my eyes. I'm going to be honest, y'all. And y'all know I try to be hard. I'm like, I'm good. But this one broke me down. Because as I got into this, I started realizing how serious it was in the different areas for people. And it made me have a different look at the restaurant area. So I want to welcome you, Ms. Ashriel. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. This is such a great opportunity to be on here, and I appreciate it so much.
You're more than welcome. I thank you for coming and sharing your story. So y'all know how I do. What's your story? Tell me about childhood.
Childhood, I come from a very large family. I'm one of 13 biological children, same mom and dad. And so there are 7 boys, 6 girls. I'm smack dead in the middle. I am 6th in line, if I haven't mentioned that already. So I'm like the middle girl. And so in terms of that goes, it's kind of, in a sense, hard to articulate because there's so many different seasons within my childhood. I left at the age of 15 and was on the street, so to speak, to be transparent about it. But from the time before that, though, my parents, they're ministers, and my dad, he's a pastor, and they also created a choir out of us as well. So we were into the fine arts, music. My mom, she was a very good cook. And so she introduced me to my very first thing to cook when I was 7 years old. And of course there were like arguments and stuff, but one thing that I can say and one thing that I appreciate is that our parents kept us together the whole time. We were never separated through a lot of hardship. We've had our house burned down, and I believe I was maybe 7 years old at that time. And I think I was in 2nd grade, if I'm not mistaken. Our house burned down and we were homeless for 5 years. And during that whole time frame of sleeping in vehicles, sleeping at my dad's jobs, church, sleeping with or sleeping at their friends' homes, we were never separated. And I'm grateful for that because my parents, they were very, very, how can I say this? Their faith in God was very deep and solid. They embedded that into us. And then as I've grown older and found my own path, I found myself to have a deep and intimate relationship with God myself. And I thank God for my parents really introducing that lifestyle to us.
As I hear you talking about it, I mean, that has to be such a traumatic thing. And for y'all know me, I'm all about, you know, trauma is the one thing that all of us have in common. And, you know, I always look at what would the effects of what I call the cousins. And y'all know that's kind of like my book thing. I do that, you know, trauma and all their cousins. Grab your copy. And in this, you're talking about this trauma of experiencing a house fire and being homeless from it. Were there any type of effects that followed you?
Well, one thing for sure I would say is a generational lack. And I say that because we didn't come from a place where home ownership was a thing. And and so the house that burned down, that was the only home that my parents owned at that time. And so that carried along into adulthood, my middle school years and then high school. And then now adulthood, as far as home ownership goes, we didn't know how to save. So we weren't really introduced to that, to be transparent. And not to even blame my parents on that level, but you know, they gave us what they knew. And so, you know, as we know, when we have our own kids, we learn to unlearn and then pick up new habits and stuff. So I would have to say that the things that carried on was not just the lack, but being grateful at the same time, because a lot of people are materialistic. And for us, because we've lost so much, like literally, I have no baby pictures of myself. There was a lot lost in that fire. And so people value and put so much value and idolize a lot of materialistics. But coming from that season and then moving from house to house to house, and even not being in a stable school as well, those things carried along, but then it also taught me to value like the more internal things of a person, like their heart, their spirit, their mind, and things like that. So I don't look at the situation as anything negative by any means, because ultimately I have to appreciate my parents for being so strong, because they never let us see them down throughout the whole process. You know, I'm sure they had people that they reached out to, you know, people who were like-minded as them, but they never let us see that. So I'm very grateful for the stability that they at least showed us. And of course, growing up and seeing later down the line that, you know, nothing is perfect, but the point is that they showed us what a two-parent household meant, what it looked like, and to really stick with each other until death did them part. Because from sickness through health, and from wealth or poor, they literally stuck with each other and then step out on each other. There's so many values that they've instilled within us just by simply looking at them. They didn't have to teach us this is what you do, but it's simply what we saw, what they displayed.
What I love about how you talk about your story is you don't talk about it as, oh my God, woe is me, and I'm dragging it around. You literally talk about your story with joy. And as I'm hearing you talk about this, I'm going, oh my gosh. I'm gonna be honest, y'all, I didn't know that one, so I'm learning new as y'all getting, okay? And in the midst of this, you're talking about this story, this tragedy that has happened, but you talk about the effects of not knowing that financial literacy, not understanding what home ownership looked like, but you still came out on the other side talking about, I'm grateful. How many of us would be so different right now, and how many of our worlds would be so different right now if we knew the power of just truly being grateful for what we have, not in material, but in true authenticity of who we are and being us and loving us and understanding that there's more to us than just a price tag or a label. Wow. Okay, y'all, you took me deep already. I'm excited. Let's go. So in this, you've had this huge tragedy. Let's go back for a second. What was your parents' work story? Because I know we're talking about burnout and you talked about what happened, but what was the work story that you saw that your parents displayed to you?
Well, it's so funny because me and my siblings talk about this all the time, because it's another story of gratefulness. Because even through after the fire, beforehand and then afterward, my dad held on to 3 jobs, and he was, I believe he was the minister of music at that time, but then he had other like corporate jobs as well, kind of in a sense. And then my mom, she never worked, but she was an entrepreneur. And one thing that they both displayed to us was entrepreneurship and just never giving up. And ever since I was maybe 12 years old that I recall, my dad has been doing entrepreneurship, and he's a maestro, and he preaches sometimes as well. And he's never went back to working for another person. And my mom, up until her death, she never worked for, I never seen my mom work a job, but always working for herself and then doing ministry. So I think that's why for me, that's why I go so hard and with passion. They showed so much resilience and so much passion with what they delivered and everything that they did. So in terms of work goals, even though we're on this topic of work burnout, I still went into working for people at the age of 16 and learned to give it my all. So here we are.
So it sounds like the work story for your parents that they gave you was always doing for self, kind of like having that, hey, you know what, you can do this. You don't necessarily need a corporate job or a 9-to-5, as I like to call it. But in the same hand, a 9-to-5 is good to have, but also make sure that you're doing for yourself as well. I'm loving this, y'all. For us, you talked about mom teaching you how to cook at 7. When I heard you say that, I had an instant smile, because I thought about my grandmother teaching me how to cook and me having to stand on the step stool to reach the stove, that kind of thing. And with that, was mom the one who ignited your passion for your job? Well, tell everybody what your job is first, then I can go from there.
Right now, actually, I do a lot of data processing for a financial institution, but from the age of 16, and even up until now, I've been in the food industry, and that's from working fast food and then my own catering business as well. But right now, I'm not doing so much of the physical catering aspect of things, but more so of teaching people exactly what I know how to do without restraint. But as far as what I do right now, to answer your question, it's definitely a financial institution. I'm doing a lot of data processing for that. But my passion is behind a lot of cooking and the arts.
So was mom the one who ignited the passion for cooking for you?
Absolutely.
Wow. I know for me, when I think back, my grandmother was that person. Like, it was just something about that kitchen. It was just a world of wonder and a world of love and warmth that never left. And I can just imagine that being the same for you. When you went into this from 16 all the way up until now, was this job a passion that kept going, that you kind of kept flying with?
I can't necessarily say that, because at 16, I did it for survival. My first job was at McDonald's, and that was simply survival mode that I went into. And it was the only job that would hire me as a minor as well. But throughout, I think maybe a year later is when it started getting reignited into me, and more of like, I wanted to make food look pretty, and I would see the commercials or look at stuff that my mom would make. And that's when it started to be like, okay, this is what I really want to do. I don't want to work in fast food, you know? So that's how I ended up in college for culinary management.
Wow. How long, if you had to give a time period, how long were you dealing with culinary experience and culinary foods and all of this? How long were you in that field?
Would you say on a professional level?
Professional level.
Professionally, it has been about 13 years now.
13 years. So you were in this, and I know we had talked about this a little while before. You kind of went in different types of food services with this. Give us an idea of some of the different ones you did. You talked about the fast food with Mickey D's. Who else did you got to connect with?
I've worked for Subway before, and I've also worked for, I'm not sure if you've heard of this, Como Town is located in Minnesota. And it's like a zoo, but then they also have a cafe that's attached to it. And so that's more so gearing into the culinary industry, because they have some type of gourmet food that they served. I don't know if they still do, but at that time they had some gourmet food. And I started to see a lot of the arts as well in that setting. But then I went back to Subway, and then I stayed there until I graduated high school. And then I ended up in college for the culinary industry of things, and like on a professional level. But when in my first year of college, I was going to this church, and there was somebody there who had a catering business at my church. And he found out that I was in school for culinary arts, and he gave me a chance to work with him at for a gig. And so the first thing that we made was vegetable lasagna, and then regular lasagna. We just served the church, but it was more on a fancy, kind of elegant scale. So
upscale level.
Yeah. So, and it's so funny because people still talk about the lasagna to this day to me and asking me to make it for them. And it's been 12 years. Wow. So that was my professional experience to start.
Okay. So got a lasagna on the map for professional debut. We get here, and from the lasagna, we get into bigger and better things in the area of cooking and culinary life and management. When did you realize, well, let me go back a little bit. We got into this space, we've had this big debut, we've had this splash going on, and here we are. You're in this field for a while. When did you realize that, yeah, this is a little bit much? When did that turn into those moments of, I think I'm starting to feel burned out?
Oh, man. You know, I honestly felt like working for others just wasn't in me. So the burnout has always been there. because I'm always, like I mentioned prior, I'm always giving it like 1,000%, giving my all into anybody that I work for, or if it's my own business. And so it started when I first started working for McDonald's, and maybe after the second week, to be transparent, I was working long hours, and as a minor, I was working double shifts. And so that, as 16 years old, I'm in high school and then I'm also working double shifts. So sleep wasn't really a thing for me at the time. And then I started to realize that there was a pattern from that to working at Subway double shifts and not really taking any breaks. And then also in the professional setting for kitchens, same scenario, or even working for other catering companies, the same thing. It's the culinary industry in itself, because we're so focused on serving, and nobody, especially a lot of the higher up management, they don't really care too much about the employees. And I'm just speaking on the transparent level. They don't care too much about the employees. They care about the service and the customers. And we all hear customers come first, but how serious is that really to your employees? Because if your employees aren't happy, they're not going to service the customers on a happy level. So
you talked about, for you, this kind of was an on-running thing where the burnout started second week at the fast food space, and then you got here and it kind of grew, not having enough sleep, kind of giving 1,000% plus, no breaks. And I think for so many people, we don't think of that when we go out. I have to be honest, when I go out to certain places, I don't think of any of that. I'm just thinking I'm going to have an amazing meal, great time with friends, and don't realize that this is what's going on behind the scenes while I'm busy out here celebrating. And it's yeah, interesting to see. And it seems like this got progressively worse. Talk to me about what those symptoms look like for you as this burnout continued to grow.
There would be a lot of arguments in the kitchen. And like you've mentioned, you never knew what was going on behind the scenes. Behind the scenes, there's a lot of arguments between the coworkers. There's a lot of cussing. There's some dishes being thrown. There's tears going on. And then we're having to like bend down behind the counter and just take a quick bite of something so that we can maintain our nourishment just to last us and hold us over until the rush is over. And so the symptoms that looked like for me was a lot of stress. And like I mentioned, a lot of tears, just anger, frustration, and feeling unappreciated. And those were a lot of the main symptoms. And then there's a physicality part of that as well, because especially working double shifts where in the kitchen, you're on your feet all day, of course. So my feet would be hurting, my whole body would be sore. So I'm trying to rest and regroup that night, but then that next morning, I'm back at work dealing with the same thing. So I never got a chance to really rest. And that's what it looks like as a symptoms. There's no rest available. And that's just to be honest, that's what it is.
You know, because as you're talking about this, and I can hear somebody saying this cold callously, you know, take a day off, or, you know, go do something else. And I'm like, what is your response to that? Because, you know, there are people who want to be callous and say, well, she's take a day off or figure it out or take a spa day or get herself together. What do you say to that person?
You know, it's easy for people to say that who haven't really lived that lifestyle of the culinary world. And then if you want to look at it in a mindset of what my life looked like at the time, I didn't have finances. I didn't get taken care of. So on that sense, because even from high school to college, I'm working a full-time job while I'm in college and I still have to pay my bills. So if you're telling me that I need to take a break, then where else can I get the funds to pay my bills? And It's unrealistic. It's very unrealistic to take a day off when you have so many responsibilities to handle. And then if you also have a passion, like for me, my passion has a lot to do with food. And I don't necessarily want to take a break because there's always something rewarding on the other side of all that stress. And so taking a day off, I can say like, yes, it's ideal, but it's unrealistic.
With some of these symptoms that you talked about, what were some of the major effects that you dealt with?
Are we referring to the culinary industry or the data processing?
I would talk about, well, let's first start with the culinary, then we'll go over to the data processing.
Some of the symptoms with that.
How did they affect you? Did it affect you in your body? Did it affect certain things, your health?
I can't necessarily, well, in terms of my health goals, maybe mentally I can start there. You have to have kind of a callous heart when you're in the kitchen. So when you have to build that up, you learn to put walls up, and then you start to carry that on into your life, your personal life. And a lot of people don't understand why you are the way that you are. A lot of introverts, we end up in the kitchen. And so if you're an introvert, and then you're also building walls up, and then you're carrying that on into your personal life, I can say that I've learned to become hard-hearted in a sense. And that's something that I'm unlearning. And it has a lot to do with the environment, you know, and that's just what it is it has a lot to do with the environment. And I'm learning to really not become so hard-hearted with people and allow others to like help me or lean into what's really available to become more soft-hearted, for the lack of better words. And not to say that like I'm just like hateful or anything like that, but it's when they, like, for instance, if your manager is telling you go in the cooler and cry it out, then you're shutting down my emotions right there. And so I had to build it up. I'm at work 5, 6, 7 days a week, and then I come home and I need to let it out. But then there's that thing playing in my mind, like, no, cry it out somewhere else, or don't feel at all. Basically, don't slow down and don't feel. And so I carry that on into my life.
Wow. At any point, did you do any like interventions or try to figure out a different path in this?
You know, no, not at all, because everybody that was really around me, that I hung out with a lot, I'll say, they were also in the culinary industry. So we can vent to each other, but what other way is there out? Because your first job is at McDonald's, and I worked there for 2 years before I moved on to the next one. And people are looking at your length of time of experience. They're looking at that length of time before they give you a chance within another industry. So a way out for me was to go to college and figure it out from there. I went to college for business management and culinary arts. And so that's where a lot of my business mindset started to really be implemented.
You talked about that way out in that moment. It sounds like for you, it was like college was the, whew, okay, now I can figure this out the way that I feel it fits for me. What was that experience for you when you actually got to start to kind of say, this is what the figuring out looks like?
Beautiful. My college experience is one that I put a high value on, and not because of the financial side of things of what I've invested into it, because, you know, honestly, I can care less about that. It's more so of the people who are my instructors. My instructors were just gems. They've walked with me through every season that I've dealt with within those 4 years, on a personal level, on a culinary level, on an educational level. And so they would give me their personal experiences in the culinary industry with working for themselves. And then they gave, on the other side of that, working for others. And when I saw that it was possible to work for yourself, and like one of my instructors, his first year of catering, he earned $1 million. And, you know, showing us full proof of that. So it's like, when that was my time right there, it was a catering class that I had. And that was that moment right there, like, okay, I can do this, and I don't have to work for other people for the rest of my life. So it was a wonderful experience for me.
That's awesome. Looking at where you are now, you've gotten out of the culinary part as far as having feet to the ground, but you're still in the area of actually consulting and management. Did that help you get over your burnout?
To an extent, yes. And I was okay. And that's the thing that you pick up along the way, is that you become really complacent with burnout when it comes to the culinary industry. And I didn't really recognize it until I got pregnant with my son, that then he's my first. And that's a whole nother story behind that. But that's when it really started to hit me and where I really needed to value my own rest, my peace, and that burnout level, and just really make time to set an atmosphere to where he doesn't have to see what burnout looks like, but more so of honing in and seeing who he could be and just really implement everything that is embedded within him and become his own person.
All right. I want to do a little bit of a wrap up with you here. So if you had to give any last words to anyone and tell them, if they said, hey, I'm experiencing burnout, what are your words of encouragement for them?
Words of encouragement, you know, I could say take some time to rest, but it's not really a practical and realistic thing for you if you're anything like me. So what I would say is to really sit down and write down your future goals. Write down what it is that you really want. What excites you? What are you passionate about? And what things have you really tapped into to really hone in and see what you can do with that on a practical level. If you're really burned out from working for somebody else, then create your own job and then employ others. Become a CEO. You don't have to work for others just to make a living, and you don't have to retire at 65 years old. Get to work now, get into fast action, and write those goals down. Like I said, implement them, and really you have to become practical. You know, faith without works is dead. So just get into action and really implement that. And also, I would say, if you are surrounded by people who don't really believe in your vision, then, you know, sorry to say, you might have to just let them go. And so that you can really move forward. And, you know, sometimes people are afraid to fail, but failing forward is it, okay? You're gonna fail throughout your process and gaining success, but as long as you fail forward, and that means just continuing on, you may get disappointed, you may feel discouragement, but as long as you continue that process and get a coach, get a mentor, whatever the case may be, whatever it is that you need to move forward, don't settle for working for somebody else if you're burnt out. And it's as simple as that. I'm coming from a mindset of an entrepreneurship, so I'm not going to tell you to be somewhere where you're not happy. I'm going to tell you to tap into the things that really brings you joy and execute it.
I couldn't say that no better myself, y'all. Listen, we definitely got to get in. We got to talk about this a little bit more. In the midst of this, I want to encourage anyone who is experiencing burnout to please check out the Seed Sowing Sista movement, or you can head on over to the website at sssmovement.com so that we can discuss and find some ways to help you move past the burnout. All right, well, I want to thank everybody. Thank you, Ms. Arisha, for coming in with us today, chatting about this burnout experience. Thank y'all for tuning on in to the Patrice Brantley Show, where helping others is the name of the game. And on this show, we push purpose, positivity, and personal growth.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.